ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15. The Killing of Denuka, the Ass Demon. This chapter describes how Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, while tending their cows in the pastures of Vrindavan, killed Denukasura, enabled the residents of Vrindavan to eat the fruits of the tal trees, and saved the young cowherds from Kaliya's poison. Revealing their boyhood, Pogunda phase of pastimes, Rama and Krishna were one day bringing the cows to pasture when they entered an attractive forest decorated with a clear lake. There they began playing forest sports along with their friends. Pretending to tire, Lord Baladev laid his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy and rested as Lord Krishna helped relieve his elder brother's fatigue by massaging his feet. Then Krishna also placed his head on the lap of a cowherd boy to rest, and another cowherd boy massaged his feet. In this way, Krishna, Balaram, and their cowherd friends enjoyed various pastimes. During this play, Sri Dama, Subal, Stoka Krishna, and other cowherd boys described to Rama and Krishna a wicked and irrepressible demon named Denuka, who had assumed the form of a jackass and was living in the Talavan forest near Govardhan Hill. This forest was full of many varieties of sweet fruits. But fearing this demon, no one dared try to relish the taste of those fruits. And thus someone had to kill the demon and all his associates. Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, hearing of the situation, set off for this forest to fulfill the desire of their companions. Arriving at the Talavan, Lord Balaram shook many fruits out of the palm trees, and as soon as he did so, the jackass demon, Denuka, ran swiftly to attack him. But Balaram grabbed his hind legs with one hand, twirled him around, and threw him into the top of a tree, thus slaying him. All of Denukasura's friends, overcome by fury, then rushed to attack. But Rama and Krishna took hold of them one by one, swung them around, and killed them, until the disturbance was finally finished. When Krishna and Balaram returned to the cowherd community, Yashoda and Rohini placed them on their respective laps. They kissed their faces, fed them with finely prepared food, and then put them to bed. Some days later, Lord Krishna went with his friends, but without his older brother, to the banks of the Kalindi in order to tend the cows. The cows and cowherd boys became very thirsty and drank some water from the Kalindi. But it had been contaminated with poison, and they all fell unconscious on the river bank. Krishna then brought them back to life by the merciful rain of his glance. And all of them, regaining their consciousness, appreciated his great mercy. Once we were riding on a train with Srila Prabhupada in the state of Uttar Pradesh. It was an overnight journey. And so Srila Prabhupada and his assistants and I were in the compartment with him. So, before taking rest, one of the devotees read from the Krishna book. And he asked Srila Prabhupada if there was any special part that he would like to hear, and Srila Prabhupada said, "No, it is all nectar. Wherever you open it will be fine." So the devotee opened to the chapter about the killing of the Dhenuka demon. And he began reading how the cowherd boys would smell the fruits from the Talavan and become attracted to enjoy the fruits. But they couldn't go there because of the demons. And so they wanted Krishna to kill the demons. And Srila Prabhupada opened his eyes very wide. And he said, "Just see how the cowherd boys are trying to engage Krishna for their sense gratification." And we all enjoyed the reading, and there were illustrations. I don't know what, but anyway, it was an older edition, and so the devotee held up the paintings of. They're not in this edition. And Srila Prabhupada very much appreciated the artwork. And he said the artists have done a very great service by depicting these pastimes. And their service will not go in vain. So now we shall read from text 1. Again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Tata.
Cha
Pauganda
Pauganda
Vaya
Shritao
Vraje
Babuvatu
Tao
Pashupala
Samatao
Ga
Charayantau
Sakibi
Samam
Padai
Vrindavanam
Punyam
Ativa
Chakratu
Shri Shuka Uvacha Tathascha Paugandavayas Shrito Vraje Babu Vatusto Pashupala Samato Gascharayanto Sakibi Samam Padair
Gascharayanto Sakibi Samam Padair
Vrindavanam Punyamativa Chakratu
Vrindavanam Punyamativa Chakratu
Tatascha Paugandavaya Shrito Vraje Babu Vatusto Pashupala Samato Gascharayanto Sakibi Samam Padair Vrindavanam Punyamativa Chakratu Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Tata, then, Cha,
and,
Pauganda,
Varya,
the age of Pauganda,
years 6 to 10,
Shritao,
attaining
Vraje
in Vrindavan,
Babuvatu,
they,
Rama and Krishna,
became
Tao,
the two of them,
Pashupala,
as cowherds,
Samatau,
appointed,
Ga,
the cows,
Charayantau,
tending,
Sakibi,
Samam,
along with their friends.
Padai,
with the marks of their feet,
Vrindavanam,
Sri Vrindavan,
Punyam,
auspicious,
Ativa,
extremely,
Chakratu,
they made. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, "When Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows, engaging thus in the company of their friends. The two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet." Please repeat. Shukadev Goswami said, "When Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows, engaging thus in the company of their friends. The two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet." Purport. Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his cowherd boy friends who had been swallowed by Agasura and then stolen by Lord Brahma. Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Talavan, where there were many delicious ripe fruits. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body had apparently grown slightly in age and strength, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding calves to the status of a regular cowherd boy. He would now take care of the full-grown cows, bulls, and oxen. Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of full-grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, "Suklastami Kartike tu Smita Gopastami Budai Taddinad Vasudevo Bud Gopapurvam Tu Vatsapa." The 8th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopastami. From that day, Lord Vasudev served as a cowherd, whereas previously he had tended the calves. The word padai indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on her surface with his lotus feet. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would be injured. Translation again. Shukadev Goswami said, "When Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet." feet. During Lord Krishna's stay in Vrindavan, his transcendental form matured from the stage of Kumara, which is, say, from the time of childbirth to the age of 5, then Poganda, 6 to 10, and then Kishore, say 11 to 16. And in each of those ages, a particular type of relationship or transcendental mellow is prominent. And therefore, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that Krishna made his made Vatsalya Ras successful in his Kumara age. He made Sakya Ras successful in his Poganda age, and he made Madhurya Ras successful in his Kishore age. So now that he had progressed to the Poganda age, Nanda Maharaj and the other elders concluded that he was now fit to take care of the cows rather than just the calves. And consequently, he would go further from the village with the grown cows and bulls. So that created a very important dynamic in Krishna's pastimes. Separation, meeting and separation, going far from the village with the cowherd boys, put the devotees in the village into greater separation, and especially for the mothers who are very protective of their children, it put them into anxiety, especially the first day. Srila Jiva Goswami describes Mother Yashoda's affection and anxiety on the first day when Krishna was going to take the cows to pasture. Of course, she was very concerned about his lotus feet. And so she had prepared very beautiful golden sandals encrusted with jewels for him to wear. But Krishna said, "Mother, how can I wear these beautiful slippers when the cows have nothing to wear on their feet? The cows are worshipable mothers also, and I can wear these slippers only if you make similar ones for all the cows," which would have meant thousands of golden slippers encrusted with jewels. And it's also not known exactly how they would fit on the cow's hoofs. And then he looked his mother in the eye and said, Dharma Rakshata Rakshati, that if you protect Dharma, Dharma will protect you. This is very significant. She was concerned about protecting Krishna's tender feet from the pebbles and thorns and other causes of pain, potential causes of pain and injury in the forest. But Krishna thought that it would be a violation of Dharma for him to have something that the cows didn't have. And so he said, Dharma Rakshati Rakshata, that if you protect Dharma, Dharma will protect you. There was one time in Hyderabad, on the farm, the Hyderabad farm, where the devotees were, Prabhupada found that the devotees were feeding the cows their remnants, the devotees' remnants. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you cannot do this. The cow is your mother. You cannot give your remnants to your mother. And he had the devotees prepare a feast for the cows to compensate for their offense. So this is a very great occasion, Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, of course, didn't want Krishna to go. I mean, she knew he had to, but within her heart, she didn't want to let him go. So Krishna and Balaram and their cowherd boyfriends would start to go, and then she would say, oh, wait. And then she would say, okay, now Balaram, you have to take care of Krishna. You have to look after him. You're going out into the forest. And then, okay, then they'd start to go. And she'd stop them again and say, okay, Subal, Stoka Krishna, you have to protect him. And then she'd go over all the prasad that she was sending with them to make sure that everything was in order and Krishna would eat properly when he was out in the forest. And so she was in that loving ecstasy of a mother, just so concerned about his care and protection. And also she didn't want to be away from him. It's not exactly the same, but in the life of a mother and a child, like the child's first day at school, it can be like a big day. One of our mothers in Southern California told me how, of course, this, you didn't see the difference, but the day she took her son, because he, you know, he was born, you know, in our community, and so we saw him grow up, and then the time came, first day at school, and so she drove him to school, and when he got to the school, he wanted to go into the bathroom. So she waited and he went into the bathroom. And then after some time he came out and then she sort of took him into the school. And she saw that he'd been crying. But he didn't want his mother to see. So he went in the bathroom and did it. And then he went to school. So it's quite And Gurukul, that's a big one. We were riding, a few of us, like Amogha Lila, Prabhu, Bhumna Prabhu, and I were bringing some boys from Pakistan to the Vrindavan Gurukul. And one of the boys, really, really smart, you know, intelligent, composed, something on the way bothered him, really bothered him, and he started to cry quite profusely. And then Amogha Lila commented it wasn't really that thing that called forth that emotional reaction, but he was feeling separation from his parents at home. But that separation is necessary. Of course, in Krishna's pastimes, it's all full of bliss. I mean, but whether, you know, transcendentally or materially, that is required. That taking a step beyond where one has been before. And in fact, our spiritual progress requires us to take steps beyond where we have been before. Every devotee has at some stage taken a leap of faith to go forward in Krishna consciousness. And as we progress, we are often called upon to take a further leap of faith. You know, as Srila Prabhupada said, to preach means to take risks. And, you know, we have our external activities of service to the mission, and we have our internal development, and the two support and nourish each other. And in both cases, both for our internal development and for our external service to the mission, we may have to take risks. We may have to go, you know, take a leap of faith, go beyond what has been done by us in the past or by others in the past. And when we do so, you know, in the right mood of service, Krishna reciprocates and helps us. In fact, if we don't take risks, if we don't go beyond the normal range of our activities, we don't get a chance to see Krishna's special mercy at play. It's all us. I mean, apparently it's all us and our usual support system. But when we go beyond that, we see how Krishna intervenes in wonderful ways to help us. So, anyway, Krishna, he also, of course, he was not afraid. He was full of bliss, but he took that next step. And, you know, philosophers and writers have commented that every religious tradition has a leader or a saint who has left home and gone beyond, you know, the usual boundaries of normal activities, even within a particular religious tradition. And they give the example of Moses who, anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also took sannyas at a young age. And so, like leaving the home and going on the spiritual quest, that is a common feature of saints in all traditions. So, so the last line, Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakra 2, Padaya Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa, that the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Because they weren't wearing the slippers that Mother Yashoda had prepared, so they were walking barefoot. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the special markings on Krishna's lotus feet were always there from the moment of his birth. But earlier, his feet were very small, and therefore the markings were not very distinct. But when he reached the Pogunda age, his feet had become bigger, and so the markings were more distinct. And the cowherd boys and cows roamed here and there further than when they were in the Kumara age. And so it's especially mentioned here that the land of Vrindavan became most auspicious, being imprinted by the marks of Krishna's lotus feet. And there's another verse in the 31st chapter, the Gopi Gita, that describes how glorious the land of Vrindavan was, and being marked by the lotus feet of Krishna. And there it is said that, that Shayate Indriya, that Lakshmi Devi herself comes to Vrindavan and performs austerities, and that the opulence of Vrindavan is even greater than the opulence of Vaikuntha. And mentioning about the marks of Krishna's lotus feet. And Srila Sanatana Goswami describes that the opulence of Vrindavan is even greater than the opulence of Vaikuntha, because it is marked by the lotus footprints of Krishna. Because in Vrindavan he goes barefoot, and in Vaikuntha he wears slippers. So Vrindavan is more opulent. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments?
How to draw out or take their association in a way that it will help us, will inspire us to a deeper understanding. So, what is the question?
Well, it's a comment. It doesn't have to be a question. It's a comment, and it can be true. In fact, that was one of the main factors that inspired Satchinandan Swami to begin the japa retreats. And now he's also instituted kirtan retreats. Now kirtan retreats are spreading, japa retreats are also spreading. And he said the reason he did it was because we have a very high philosophy that promises very great rewards. But he observed that many devotees were not experiencing the actual happiness of Krishna consciousness. So there was a gulf of difference between the philosophy and the realization. You know, we always talk about an eternal life full of knowledge and bliss. Or I sort of alluded that to that yesterday. But instead of Satchit Ananda, the material body is Asit Achit and Nirananda. But although our philosophy leads us to eternity, knowledge, and bliss, our actual experience may be more on the side of transient experiences and ignorance or confusion and misery. So he felt that this is very serious. It's like we have a split personality. We have like a very high philosophy which promises very wonderful results, but then the practical experience of many devotees is very different. So he thought we need something to bridge the gap, or in other words, to bring their experience in line with the philosophy. And he had his own realizations of the value and benefit of attentive japa, and so he thought the japa retreats would be a good way to help people actually experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So it's not just words, but it's real. So that is a reality. I mean, unfortunately, but that is a reality. And in the japa retreats, we do an exercise where we ask the participants to list how they feel after they've had like a bad day of japa. So they'll say, frustrated, discouraged, morose, hopeless, like that. And then how do you feel after a good day of japa? Happy, enthusiastic, positive. And so it's our motto, chant and be happy. But if you don't chant properly, it'll be like chant and feel morose, discouraged, frustrated. Welcome to the Hare Krishna. Chant and feel frustrated, morose, discouraged, hopeful. So to chant and actually be happy, you have to chant in the right way, with attention. And that's a whole topic, how to chant with attention. I mean, to a degree it's an individual effort, but it's also a group effort. And one of the reasons the retreats are so effective is the common intention of the entire group. Everyone is gathered together with the common intention of focusing on the holy name, deepening their relationship with the holy name, and so on. So that association makes a big difference. So, how to get everyone together. The morning program itself is so full of potency, and Prabhupada emphasized it practically above everything else. So much potency. I mean, I miss programs myself, so I'm not the perfect example, but it really has a lot of potency, and it you feel it more when there are more people. I mean, I remember like coming when Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami was here, and like the temple room just full of devotees during japa, and like so intense, and everyone chanting and really trying to focus and be Krishna conscious, and you know, being inspired for their service later in the day. It was really a very surcharged atmosphere. But, you know, the times change, circumstances change. I mean, I think we could do a lot better in the morning program, but even granted, you know, household responsibilities are there and so on. So then a retreat, you know, a retreat is a way to, like, get away from everything without any encumbrances and just, you know, focus and give yourself fully to it, and you know, go outside your comfort zone. And that term is also a misnomer. We say comfort zone, but when you stay in your comfort zone, it's usually pretty mundane and miserable. It's an we say comfort because it's just easier to stay in it than go out of it. But it's not really comfortable. It's really pretty miserable. You only really feel the bliss when you go beyond that. And then wherever you go next, then you go beyond that and you just keep progressing. And then it's like Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita purport that, you know, Krishna consciousness is a thrill at every moment. It should be. So that was a very perceptive observation he shared with us. Any other questions or comments? Dr. and Alex? You know, I mean, in my the example I'm going to give didn't include criticism per se, but it just included lack of response. But I would during a certain period, you know, I'd go out every day and meet people and speak to them and try to enroll them as life members or have them give advertisements for publications or at least buy a set of books or at least buy a few books or at least buy one book. And one day I went out and no one did anything. And every evening I would come back to Srila Prabhupada and give the report of what happened during the day. And on that particular day, he gave me one of those memorable instructions that's etched in my memory, that if you sincerely try your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied even if others are not. And that's our whole goal. That's what bhakti means, to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. So that's what we think. Is Krishna satisfied? Is Krishna pleased? And that's all. Always may or may not be. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, you may preach very perfectly, but still the person may not take what you say. And in, now we're in the mood of Vrindavan a little later, when Krishna and the cowherd boys were taking the cows to pasture, and they felt hungry. So, you know, Krishna sent the boys to beg some foodstuffs from the Brahmins who were doing sacrifices, and the Brahmins wouldn't give them anything. So they went back there very discouraged, and Krishna said, and Srila Prabhupada like elaborates, that when you go out to beg, you can't expect to be successful every time. So, but we persevere. And we persevere. I mean, we can improve, you know, if we could think, well, you know, did I do something wrong? Could I do something better? But even then, Krishna will be pleased if you make the effort. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Jatayu, the bird devotee of Lord Rama, that he saw that Ravana was abducting Sita, and he was a devotee. He was actually very powerful, but at that stage he was very old. But still, he saw, oh, Ravana is abducting Sita. I must do something. So with whatever strength he had, he rose up and he fought with Ravana to try to free Sita. But because of age, and Ravana was extraordinarily powerful, so Ravana killed him. But when Lord Ramachandra found him, you know, he took up his body, he did the funeral rites like a son does for a father, and he was very pleased. So, all right, he wasn't physically powerful enough to prevail over Ravana, but he gave whatever he had. He gave his best, he gave his life. And so Rama was satisfied, and Jatayu went back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example to say that we preach, but sometimes the demonic forces are so powerful we may not be successful. But that doesn't matter, because as long as we do our best, give our all, you know, give our lives, Krishna will be pleased. It doesn't matter what the external result is. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? But as far as among devotees, in general, you know, we should encourage each other. You know, we should see the good in the other devotees and encourage them. But at the same time, you know, if someone needs to be corrected, we should also correct them in a mood, within the context of appreciating them and in the mood of wanting to help them, not in the mood of finding fault or showing that you're greater and they're lesser, but just in the mood of helping them. In Houston, one of the youth approached me. He had written me, and then I actually met him when I came to Houston last time, about, you know, accepting me as a spiritual master and taking initiation. So I asked him, why me? And he sort of went over the history of my interaction with him, which was not very major in a certain way. And he said that, because everyone leads kirtan, but he's like known as a kirtan leader. And he said that once I had told him that before he sings the Panchatattva mantra and went to speak of the Hare Krishna mantra, he should say Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantras. And he said he'd been leading kirtan for so many years and no one ever told him that. So he really appreciated that. So sometimes devotees make mistakes, but then no one corrects them. They just keep making the same mistakes. So, loving the devotees or, caring for the devotees can mean correcting them, but not lording it over, wanting to help them. And that's also encouraging. That's also encouraging. But anyway, it's good to be positive. And encourage people. Yes, Baladev Prabhu. Yes, that's very good. We should see the good in the people who are trying to correct us. Same thing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri and then he fainted in ecstasy in the temple, and then they brought the body to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's place, and he was saying, "Oh, he's too young to be a sannyasi. He's young, he's handsome. It's going to be very difficult for him to maintain his vows." And he's just chanting and dancing, he's not fixed in Vedanta philosophy. And I think I need to instruct him, in Vedanta philosophy, so he's more fixed up. So his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, was very upset. He said he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not what you're thinking. And they had a whole argument. Then after that, the devotees told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had said, what the discussion was. And they were very upset. He was being offensive. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he's like my father. He's concerned about my welfare. He's my well-wisher. Same thing like with Ramchandra Puri. So that is an example that that we can learn from in receiving criticism, even if the person who's giving the criticism isn't completely right or purified. But take the good. Take the good. Very, very good example. All right. Maharaj, would you like to add anything? You'll be continuing your seminar in the evening?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good seminar. Many topics, like Daivi Varnashram in the context of ISKCON. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hare Krishna.